Thoughts crowded my head while Blaine snored next to me, his heavy arm slung across my belly in a soft grip. We talked little of what I learned, what I thought in general. This day had been no different, even if I learned a great deal about the world and my husband's ideas about it. When I finally drifted off to sleep, my last thought was of my mother, long gone. So long gone, the ache I still felt surprised me whenever it squeezed my heart. Perhaps it was why I dreamed so ferociously again. It started with a shock of blood, a clang of swords. A cave I did not recognize hovered in mist and smoke, a gray and cold carving out of mountain. I heard a scream echo in its depths. Next came a flash of memory, highlighting lavender eyes on a banquet table, its shifting skin of scales turning into a kaleidoscope of color. I reached for the head to offer comfort, to close its dead eyes, but it remained out of my grasp. No matter how hard I stretched and moved to get at the poor creature. A cackle of deep laughter filled the air, and I caught Cardiff staring from the other side of the table, one hand wrapped in a chain, the other clutching the remnants of a fine blue fabric. Hate spilled out, a physical thing made of deep, dark shadows in my dream state. I reared back and looked about frantically for my husband. He stood at the other end of the table, a jolly expression on his face, offered a wink toward me, a smile at Cardiff, then turned back to laughs and roars with his guards and friends. When he moved away, it felt like a snapping of strings from an unknown tether in my gut. A swirl of time and place, and I hovered outside myself, watching as I was again in the market, again at Andra's stall, caressing the lavender fabric. It shone in the dreamlight, its own color shifting and changing, like it was not solid cloth, but rather a tapestry intricately woven with a multiplicity of shimmering threads, so small and interconnected it was impossible to see where one began and another ended. I watched myself pull it close to my nose and breathe deep, as if comforted. Glancing over into the shadows recessed of the booth, I saw Andra stare at the me among her fabrics and threads. She shook her head before looking up, as if seeing the me who hovered somewhere on the periphery of this reality. Her deep golden eyes flashing in recognition and knowledge. With a blink, I moved from my out-of-body position apart from the scene, to viewing the dream world through my singular perspective. I was in my body, seeing from my body in the stall, staring back into Andra's eyes, now so close to my own. "Remember," Dream Andra whispered to me. I tried to ask her questions, tried to understand what I was to remember, but my voice didn't come. Instead of sound, smoke fell from my mouth in gray waves, curling into the air and hanging between us. I rubbed my throat, then clawed. I screamed, but more and more smoke spilled out in the place of sound, filling the space between us and obscuring my vision. Andra acted unconcerned. She reached for my hand, pulling it down from my windpipe and gave it a soft squeeze. "Remember," she whispered again before she and the stall and I all melted away in a swirl of smoke that turned darker and hotter. Shot through with spark and ember, the smoke churned, creaked, and groaned, and suddenly all was aflame. A woman's cry pierced the crackling and the roaring of the fire. My mother's cry. I jolted up in bed, drenched in sweat, as if too close to the burning in my dream. My heart was pounding and my mind racing.